This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't...
No. Ladies and gentlemen! For what?
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, motherfuckers? I'm Kevin Metal!
I'm Tristan Gregson.
And I'm allegedly a criminal. What the actual fuck?
Tonight on Heavy Meta, we'll discuss things we're used to discussing, such as fuck the man and fuck the why would we ever get arrested for anything because we didn't do anything wrong.
Criminal activities.
As well as maybe things that relate to magic. But obviously, breaking news for our cast, especially for me in the last couple hours, I guess this news is this old at this point. Tony, who hadn't said anything during the course of the weekend, drops the bomb on us here on the cast like, oh yeah, by the way, I've got some interesting shit going on. And I'll let him take it away from there.
So, I went to GP Montreal this weekend. It was kind of a last-minute thing. I had the weekend booked off, plans sort of wavered, but I ended up getting a ride with a coworker and a good friend in a brand-new car. And I mean brand-new. Kaylin's car had 18 kilometers on it when she picked me up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, brand-new. So, it was really sweet. So I went with Caitlin and Bo, and we drove up on the weekend, and we did the GP Montreal thing. I played in a couple of side events. I played a bunch of Jeskai Ascendancy matches. I won some, I lost some. Well, you know, we'll get into that. That's the normal part that you would expect. Having an amazing time at a GP. I got to spend some time with Martin. I got to see Frankie. I got to see William. I got to see, like, all the SVU that I wanted to see there. A bunch of Toronto people, too. We went out for dinner one night. I ended up watching Martin do Dance Dance Revolution with an old high school friend of his, or an old college friend of his. That was, like, pretty awesome to see. And you know, catching random Pokemon with, like just random people. It was Oshiega, the big festival going on this weekend in Montreal as well. As well as Just for Laughs was going on in Montreal this weekend. Some of my friends went to go see actually Semulin from Mana Deprived and our limited videos at Martin and his partner there. They went, I believe it was them. Maybe not. Anyways, he was there. Somebody I met got to go see Louis C.K. like the night before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Obviously that would have been amazing. So this is like the weekend of weekends for this sort of like random GP that there wasn't like a ton of hype about, especially like not really in the SVU or the community, but everyone that I know went had either an amazing time because they did really well in the tournament or had an amazing time because the GP and the whole experience around it was just phenomenal. This Pokemon Go, I know this cast is at least 60% Pokemon Go talk now. That's like required. Yeah, it's in our contract to talk about Pokemon Go that much. It's changed events like this. Like before you were all there to play Magic and then there was still like these subsects and that was like a very like liberal group of people to be around as far as Magic players and you know, multiple mixed communities and personalities get. It can get awkward sometimes, but everyone has Magic and everyone's happy because Magic's awesome.
Right.
Well, day two, most of those people don't have Magic anymore. So they're playing side events. They're waiting around. There's like things are firing. They have an event in a few hours from now or whatever. Now you can just meet infinite people with Pokemon Go. So the community that I saw at this GP and the way I saw people interacting and experiencing and having fun and like just talking to people about maybe like places to go and eat or places to go and see or what they did last night or where they should go tonight was just like so far above and beyond anything else I've experienced at a Grand Prix. It was pretty amazing. And I feel like Pokemon Go has a very, very large part to do with that. Mm-hmm. So in that aspect, it's like the sweetest thing because I didn't play in the main event. So I got to spend my Saturday afternoon, like from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., like in the sun exploring the city and parks and like using this GPS map so I can actually never get lost to just wander this city and meet people and experience things. And Montreal is beautiful. I lived in Ottawa for 6 years and did a lot of traveling back and forth, but, never say I got to like really fall in love with the city the way that a lot of people do when they say they go there. And I think that happened this time. I really fell in love with the actual city. Yeah. It was beautiful. The buildings, the streets. I took pictures. I don't take pictures. Okay. I don't take pictures of things when I go to places and do things.
Right.
Like the last time I took pictures was Kelly's wedding in Cuba. And that seems like a pretty significant event.
Yeah.
But like, other than random bullshit of like, there was a bee on the car window and I got to take a really high res picture of an up close bee while we were driving on the hallway, highway. That's the kind of photos I take on my phone. But I took pictures of like the architecture in the city of Montreal.
That's crazy.
That's gotta say something.
You're just in a good mood, right? Just like fucking having a good old time.
And 3 days, I'm not working. I'm finally at a GP that I don't have to work. How exciting is that?
I've done that before and I still didn't play anymore.
Oh man. So I signed up for a 4-round event on Saturday and I played that and I went 2-2 and I played 4 zoo decks in a row. Awesome.
Right on.
And I still got 10 packs for that. So that was pretty good. And then I did the same thing on Sunday and the rest of my time was just spent exploring the city, hanging out with friends, going out for dinner. Like I went out to Chinatown for dumplings with Bo. Like I just got to, oh man, it was amazing. Like it was just such an event filled weekend on top of the top 8 being stellar. I should probably look this up because, the top 8 was stacked and every person I knew that I expected to do well did well. Alex Neufeld finished 51st for some pro points, but not a qualification. So he's a little disappointed there, but you know, that's how those PT grinders are. But like Daniel Fournier was up in there in the top ranks. Rich Hohen finished just in the top 16, just outside top 8. And then we had one of our distributors' sales reps, our sales rep from our distributor, made top 8 of GP Montreal.
All right.
Because our warehouse is in Montreal, so we're like, hey, shit, I know that guy. He's from, you know, whatever distribution company. Like, oh, cool. I talked to him every day on the phone. He made top 8.
That's
funny. You know, like it was just super awesome. Brian Liu was like at table 4 in round 15. He was GP Richmond winner back in the day, was the largest modern GP at the time. He won with Kiki Cord. Mm-hmm. I always like to point out that he had Firelit Thicket and Hallowed Fountain in the same deck.
Oh, really?
That's called expert deck building.
That's crazy.
That's, I know, right? And then won the GP. So I'm the asshole.
Exactly.
So shout out to Brian who was did fantastic on the weekend too. Like there was it was the most exciting GP I've taken part in because of how hometown it was and how the experience was and it was just really fantastic. I really give it up for the guys at Gamekeeper this time. It was good. It was a really good event. So the end of the weekend comes. It's Sunday night. I just finished wrapping everything up. All my cards are sold. Everything was put away. Like nothing to worry about. One more night at Martin's house. We're going to get up at like 6:30 in the morning. He's got to go to work. We got to drive home. Bo works at 3 p.m. and it's like a 5.5 hour drive. So we need to be on the road by like 8:30. So we got one last night out. Nothing too crazy's happened so far and nothing too crazy's going to happen because we're going to go walk down to the waterfront and catch Pokemon. Totally makes sense.
Right.
Seems like a fantastic evening. So I meet, it's Bo, myself, and a friend of mine, Ray. So Ray's a 10-year veteran nurse who's, you know, works nights. He's 46. He's like the coolest fucking guy ever. And Ray plays Eldrazi with me. So that's our like connection. We both have like super pimped out. His is all signed in foil, different Eldrazi decks. We're always like debating strategies and our newest thing is serum powder to try and, you know, exile your seven hand, your opening seven if it's not good and trying to get like just like a busted ass start with the deck every game.
Right.
So we've been like colluding on that, trying to like figure out how good serum powder is and we like take tournaments together. We go in tournaments together and be the only guys playing serum powder. So Ray's the shit. So we teach Ray that you can buy beer at the corner store here in Quebec because you can't do that back in Toronto.
Right.
And that's pretty exciting. So we head to like a Depener and Ray gets a bottle of wine and a great Gatorade even to match. Like he was like on the ball with like being respectful of not really obnoxiously drinking in public.
Mm-hmm.
And like I had like a beer or whatever as we walked around downtown by the water catching Pokemon. We met like a group of like these, you know, very dressed up out on the town girls that were also from Toronto, and we ended up like, they wanted us to take some pictures of them and stuff down by the water, so that was fun. And, you know, chatted them up for a bit and then parted ways because we were catching Pokemon and they were like way too good for us anyways. So, a couple of our other friends end up meeting up with us. So there's about five of us now. So Chris, Jeremy, Ray, Bo, and myself. And we're just walking the piers, catching Pokemon. The sun's going down. There's like a zip line on the Montreal pier that you could just go and do. Like,
really?
Over the water.
Nice.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there's just, this pier is like jumping. Like, the harbor front down in Toronto is very, very popular because of Pokemon. There's some stops there, and like, that's our spot to go. It's right by the CN Tower. It's a very popular spot. So, this was like sort of Montreal's popular spot, right? So, we're walking out by the waterfront, the sun goes down, zip lines, catch a Pokemon, run around. It's dark now, so we need to find a place to stop, pull over. Our phones are pretty much dead, so we're gonna look for like a pub. We can have a beer or whatever, charge our phones up for a bit so we can make it home, catch more Pokemon. Everything's awesome. We find a pub called Pub Brewski, and we're like, okay, this is cool. And immediately when we sat down, we're like, do you guys have like a beer menu? And he points over and he's like, yeah, it's hand painted up on that wall on an old wooden skid. And I was like, yo, this is the place for me.
Really? Right on.
Yeah, I was like, yo, this is exactly the type of place I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we get their like other drink menu and it's like really great. So Ray and I, like, we have a glass of wine. Everybody else has a beer. Caitlin meets up with us again. So now there's like six of us and we're all like, we have a couple of drinks. We're having a good time. No one's like really belligerent and we're not like trying to get drunk. We're actually just waiting for our phones to charge. That's like the whole point.
Right. The whole point of being there
is we're just catching Pokemon. So we literally walked into the place and we're like, do you guys have electrical outlets we can use and cold beer? And they were like, yes. And we're like, this is the place I want to be. That's how we decided. So everyone's phone's dead because I have this like big ass battery that's like 10,000 milliamps, which is like twice a normal phone and two ports on it. So everyone else like showed up with weak ass tiny batteries and their phone's mostly dead. So I was like, yeah, man, charge off my phone. Like it's all good. And then we get to the bar and my phone's still at like 40%. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like everybody else charged. There's not enough plugs for everyone. We're all sharing. Do that. So we hang out there. Everybody gets a charged phone. Charge, we peace out, my battery's super drained, like my spare battery's dead, and you know, in the next 15-20 minutes, my phone ends up dying. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Who cares? We're out. So, we're looking for a spot to charge my phone because I'm the one that has the information of where we're trying to go. So, while my phone dies, we're waiting for Ray, who's now been distracted by a pretty girl at the bar, and he's done. He's, alright, see you, Ray. You got a hotel, you know where you're staying, see ya. So we're back down to five. We've replaced Ray with Caitlin now. And we're still having a great time because now we've, you know, maybe had a drink or two. I had two glasses of wine and a beer over this like 5 hour period. So we're looking for a place to charge my phone and we're taking it slow and just hanging out, chatting with people, having a great time. And we come up over like a hill because Montreal is Mount Royal, built on a hill. So we're cruising around the city and we come up over a hill and there's like a glow over the top of the hill. And we're like, okay, well, this has to be something cool up here. It's like Just for Laughs. It's like all these festivals going on this weekend. Like, I wonder what's going on. And they get up and there's like a shitload of people outside. I'm like, okay, like I'm talking like 50, 60 people outside. And then whatever the place is full and like signs like big and bright and lit up. And I was like, oh shit, that's La Banquise. That's like the poutine place that everybody talks about that like, from the SVU that they want to go to. I was like, cool. Not only now do I know where we are, roughly in the city, I know that we're not getting food anytime fucking soon because the line is 8 million people long. So we just need to charge my phone, take a cab home, eat, go to bed. That's it. Life's good. Go home.
Right.
So we roll up around the corner. We're across the street from La Banquise. You can see like the huge crowd of people and they're like all milling around and I'm like looking around for just basically any random outlet because I just need to turn my phone on, get a phone number and call a cab. And that's like no big deal, right?
Right.
So I find one. It's across the street. It's like kind of lit up and we're not from there. And I don't speak French. Chris doesn't speak French. And Bo and Caitlin decide that, well, they're not staying in the same part of the city. So they jump in a cab and they peace out. So now we're down to three.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy speaks French. Chris does not speak French. I do not speak French. Nor do I barely understand French. If two people had a conversation in front of me, unless they were, I knew what they were talking about, I would have no idea what they're saying. So.
Right.
I sit down, I plug my phone in, and I get in my backpack long enough to see the like Samsung start on your phone. Mm. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And like look up and there's like two cops standing in front of me. And I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And he's like, he points to a beer bottle that's beside me and he's like, you can't be drinking that. And I look at him and I say, I wasn't drinking that. That's not mine. Right. I didn't touch it. That's like legitimately not mine. This is easy.
Right.
And he's like, I saw you with it. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Like I understand what's going on here. Like I'm willing to stand up for myself here and not just put up with this. Like you did not see me with that.
Right.
And he said something to his partner in French and then almost immediately says, well, then you're under arrest.
What? Well,
yeah.
That.
So right? That's what I said. I said, for what? And he said, for stealing the power.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He says to me, you're under arrest for stealing the power.
Oh my God. What a fucking cunt.
So I say, excuse me. And then he replies with, stop resisting. Like he's already got me. Like as soon as I said like, that's not mine. Like, I'm sorry, you're mistaken. He reached for me. And it's like, as soon as he reached for my arm, he was like, you're under arrest. I said, for what? He said, stop resisting. The next thing I said to my friend Jeremy was, Jeremy, start filming this. And he said, okay. So after that, I was just like, you're hurting me. I'm not resisting. And I have a video that's on my Facebook that is of that. I'm going to make a big fucking deal about this.
Yeah, you should.
So I'll post a link to it and everyone can like see the videos and stuff and check it all out, when this podcast comes out. So I'm taken over to the back of the car, like put on the car, like handcuffed, like asked if I have any weapons, anything, put in the back of the car. And my friend Jeremy, thank you Jeremy, has enough sense to A, attempt to listen to everything they're saying because he speaks French.
Oh, okay.
And B,
assholes.
And B, not let them take me anywhere.
Right.
So he wasn't going to let them drive away with me, no matter what.
That's a homie right there.
Like, he's like, I would have just stood in front of the car, like, whatever. He's like, I would have made sure that it was more of a deal that, like, they weren't leaving with you. Trust me. So he recorded it. We got, like, one and a half of their faces, the license plate, the cop number, like, everything.
Right.
And as soon as they, like, handcuffed me, as soon as I was, like, detained and knew I couldn't do anything, I just didn't say anything. So, like, in the video, you hear them say to me, like, do you have any weapons on you? And I, like, just shake my head and kind of no/disbelief and, like, shut my mouth. Like, I used to live with a lawyer. I'm good friends with a lawyer, all on the criminal defense attorney side, and I know that cops don't give a fuck about you. Like, their job is to do their job.
Right.
And that you don't take into that. You are not taken into account when their job is what they're supposed to do. So, not to say that cops don't give a fuck about people. That's not what I'm saying specifically. Is that when they're supposed to do a job, they don't care about you. They care about the situation.
Right.
Cool. So I spent about a half an hour in the back of the car. They read me my rights, sort of. Like they said, you understand you don't have to talk, right?
I said,
yes. You understand I get a phone call, right? And they said, if you want your phone call, we have to take you to the station and put you in a jail cell first. Then you get your phone call.
I thought about it,
and I was like, so if I had my phone, I would have my lawyer's number, and I would be probably willing to do this, except the whole fucking point is that my phone doesn't work.
Right.
That's the whole point of this. So then I couldn't, and I wouldn't have, but then I couldn't say, like, yeah, I'll take my phone with me, I'll call my lawyer, I have my number, like, whatever. Last thing I wanted is for him to get there and be like, we didn't bring your bag or your charger, like, not our fault. So in the midst of, when I said to them, I was like, are you serious? Like, I can't just use my phone or you have a phone? And he looks me dead in the face. The cop turns and looks me dead in the face and he says, do I look like I have a phone in here?
What the fuck? What kind of weird asshole cop were you dealing with?
I was like, Yes?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you do look like you have one in here.
Yeah,
I don't
look like
know
a human being that
you look like
century.
You have a phone in this car. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, like, without trying to be a complete fucking prick about it, I was like, honestly, yes. You
right.
do look like you would have a phone in here. Like, no disrespect. Like, I still don't understand what's going on here.
Right.
Like, and he looked at me and says, you stole the power. That's illegal. You stole the power. You stole the power. You stole the power.
What the fuck, man?
I was like,
that's insane. It's like he just fucking, for whatever reason had a hair up his ass, or they had a fucking hair up their ass and just wanted to fucking fuck with you. And that, I mean, obviously, like, coming at you, like, at first with the fucking alcohol thing, you know, and then when you're just like, that's not mine, you didn't see me with it, they're like, well, fuck, all right, now what can we fuck with them about? And they wanted to push something as stupid as fucking that, is, oh, you were stealing the power from the building.
So, okay, so here's the fucked up part, right? Like, because that actually kind of, in some ridiculous, outlandish, like, yeah, we live by the black and white all the time, every single time. Jaywalkers are criminals. Like, yeah, I was stealing the power.
Right.
I what? Cool. Now, if...
I don't think... Wait, can it be even considered stealing the power if it's on a fucking, like, an unlocked outlet outside of the building?
Can it be considered theft if what I took doesn't amount to a tangible value? So in the amount of time my phone was plugged in, how many kilowatts per hour could I have used?
Yeah, no,
and
sure.
how do I pay restitution for that?
Right. Well, no, and that's what I'm saying is, like, you know, it'd have been a different story if that, you know, you have, like, covered outlets for, like, wet locations where they even have, like, boxes over them and shit. Like, for exactly that, like, if you've got outside power to a building, especially like a business or something like that, there's lockable boxes that those outlets are in and can be in. So that people aren't just using the power from it. But if you've got an exterior outlet on a fucking building that isn't secured or locked whatsoever, like, that's not, like, stealing power. There's no reason you should be able to get in trouble for that. Or even,
so,
like,
check this out. I've been watching some of the, like, YouTube videos.
I've been
watching
CSI and shit.
Yeah, well, okay. I've been watching, like, I mean, I'm obviously up to date on all the horrible, horrible things that have been going on. And I don't really want to talk about that right now, and I don't really want to get into that. Let's just state a fact that, like, I understand the situation. So when I became a part of the situation, I had an expectation of how I was going to be treated based on my race and gender.
Right.
That expectation was met, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But it's left me with like a hole inside of me that is, like, filled with the grief of the families.
Distrust?
No, not even that.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
just,
I see what you're saying.
Grief of the families that nobody will ever be able to understand.
Yeah.
That I will still never be able to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And how this shit just goes on. Like, it's, like, made me sick as, like, a human.
Right.
To actually have seen this going on, because this is, I just got fucked with.
Yeah.
Like, someone just wanted to fuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm a white male,
it didn't go over nearly as it could have.
It didn't go any worse. This is sort of, like, best case scenario, but this is going to cost me, like, a bunch of money and a bunch of time, and now I'm having this conversation with you, and I, now, after all of that, after we think about the people whose lives this really affects on a daily basis, it can never be changed. It can never be undone. The restitution can never be paid to those people, ever.
Now we
get to the trust. Now we get to the security.
Right.
So I think about it, and I put a lot of time and thought into this, and I thought, what if I had have gone up to a police officer and said the exact same story? I said, look, I'm not from around here. I have a difficult time reading the signs and understanding the language and talking to random people.
Mm.
I'm having a challenge with that. I just need to plug my phone in. Okay. And I just need to charge it. And I approached a police officer like that, and I said that, and we were outside a police station, and it was there, how do you think they would respond?
They'd probably be like, oh, well, there's an outlet right over here. You could take it over. Well, it depends on the, like, it depends on the cop. You know, if it sounds so, like okay, if you okay. ran, it sounds like if you ran into that cop or those two cops or whatever, like, and you did exactly that. You walked up to them and asked them, hey, you know, I need to charge my phone. I need to, you know, get a number so I can get a cab so I can get home. And you approach that. It sounds like they would have, like, you know, maybe not taken this, the direction that they did with this because you walked up and asked them first, but they likely would have been assholes and told you to fucking leave and told you to, you know, go somewhere else or whatever the case
right, like
may
the outlet's right there. It's unlocked. It's at a police station. It's theirs to offer, right? Let's hypothetically.
And it sounds, yeah, it sounds like me. This guy would have been a fucking cunt and fucking ran you off. Or you know,
so,
maybe even
so
taking it as far as to be like, oh, hey, have you been drinking? I fucking smell liquor on your breath. Yeah, shit like that. But if you would have walked up to, you know, the next fucking squad car over, let's say, you know, hypothetically, like the next officer that walked out of the building, you very well might have walked up and said the exact same thing. And, oh yeah, hey, here, right here, there's an outlet right outside here. And, you know, if you just need to plug it in real quick to make a call, yeah, go right ahead. I can't have you sitting all out here all night, plugging in your phone, you know, and just loitering
okay.
outside. But yeah, likely he's going to fucking give you the hand to help you out. But the fact is they came up with an intent, whatever the intent might have been, to fuck with you. I mean,
exactly.
I've definitely been on that side of it. I mean, fuck
okay.
it's insane. Go ahead.
Okay, so that's super important because mm-hmm. maybe the cop, when I asked him in our hypothetical situation, mm-hmm. he would have told me, there's an outlet there, but I don't want you loitering around here. Or maybe he would have said, like, just move along, you know, or like,
yeah.
you know, maybe he would say, that's illegal. So you can't do that, right? That would all make
right.
sense. These are all reasonable things.
Right.
Well, I actually did plug it into a cop building, a police building.
Really?
Yes.
What the fuck?
I didn't know.
Uh-oh.
It was it's also a woman's shelter.
Right.
Which when I looked it up, I only found this out when I went to go look it up because I wanted to call them and I wanted to say, hey, this is my situation. I wasn't like, it wasn't trespassing. Okay.
Right.
It wasn't loitering. It was theft. So I did contact them and I said, you know, because I looked on Google Maps, I saw that the police sign was like kind of right there and I obviously didn't realize it because I don't speak or read French. Not that police looks different. That's not an excuse. I'm just saying I wasn't paying attention to signs.
Yeah, because you can't read them anyway. So I would.
That's it. Right. I wasn't paying
right.
attention. Cool. So I call or I email the place, the not police office, because when I look on Google Maps, it looks like their half of the building is that half that I was plugged into.
Right.
So I go in Street View and I zoom in and I fucking Photoshop it up Maddie style. And oh, that beer's good. Maddie style. And I can see the outlet. So I have this photo cropped picture of the outlet on the wall, where it was, what the corner looks like, everything. And that's when I noticed the sign. And I'm
right.
like, what the fuck? Because even on Google Maps, the way the names are laid out, it's the right, and it's called, if you look up the picture, not that I'm expecting you to, it's called like the SCCVQ. That's what it says.
Right.
How the fuck am I supposed to know what that is?
Well, regardless whether it's, and that's the thing though, like,
so,
I get what you're saying, but like, regardless,
so again,
it being a police station or not, if it's an outside fucking, basically, you know, it's not on, I mean, it's public property, I guess, but like, you're talking about it just being an outside outlet that's not secured and you plugging into it. Great. If they wanted to come up and basically just tell you, you can't be here, you can't be doing that, that would have been fine. That would have been absolutely fine for them to say, you know, hey, by the way, you know, this is a fucking police station or whatever the case may be, you know, hey, you're not allowed to do that. It may be a statute there, you know, that you can't fucking do that. Great. You know, walk up and say, hey, you can't be plugged into that there, but you're not like committing a crime. And
so,
yeah.
So I call, I email, I look, that's when I see the sign and and I'm like, holy shit. This just blew my fucking mind even more because why wouldn't they want to help me? Why the fuck would the police not want to help me get my phone charged in a foreign city so that I can get home?
Ugh.
Why wouldn't they want to help me?
Likely they just looked at you and, you know, like you said, your race and gender can have something to do with it too, but like just your look, your demeanor, shit like that, like they may have just flat out looked at you, you know, and for lack of a better term, looked at you and not fucking liked you. Thought you were a little shithead. Thought you were some little fucking, you know, problem causing little fucker. And they, you know, had a bad night. You know, that very well could have, yeah, maybe they just finished dealing with some bullshit, some fucking, you know, young white males that fucking pissed them off and they just were on one. And they, you're there. They're still, and that's the thing. Like, that's the hard part about it is, you know, like you said before, you know, a cop, you know, there's a spectrum of them. There's good cops. There's great cops. There's bad cops. There's fucking horrible cops. Cause the fact is it's a fucking job that, you know, there are good people and bad people.
We're not trying to make generalizations about anyone is right, what right. I would want to take away from this because.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is like,
this is a very isolated, specific right. incident with particular individuals that I am talking about.
Sure.
Well,
yeah. This particular
this is what I'm talking about.
But I can tell you from my family's experience, and the reason I've been sitting here quiet this whole time is because. Is because fuck Montreal and fuck and get the fuck out of my goddamn country. Because when my mother, who is from California, went there, she would be ignored by police, but she did not speak French in that fucking city. And this pisses me off so fucking much. And you say these things about profiling, you say these things about, you know, you got lucky that you looked a certain way. It all just builds on the bullshit of this situation. The fucking pompous French. This is so aggravating that nothing has changed in what seems like almost 40 years of what's supposed to be progress in this town. When I tell my mother that I want to take my wife to that city and she says, no, do not go there. If you do not speak French, not only will they not help you, but they will look down on you. And I try to tell her there's no way it's the same. There's no way. How could it be the same? And then I hear stories like this. It's infuriating.
It's exactly.
And you should take. You should take your uppity French mentality about everything. And again, this is a generalization and I am just as bad as everyone else, but this is so aggravating to hear this that it's like fucking grow up. Okay.
Yeah.
This is not your planet. This is not your only language. And I only know the shittiest language on earth, but I have the respect and the decency to other people to not go around shoving it down everyone's throat all the time. It is so aggravating to hear this. I shut up for 15 minutes, and I'm probably going to do it again now because this is insane. I cannot believe people act this way for somebody that is doing something. If you know how many people would be arrested in Los Angeles County for plugging their phone into a public outlet in a public service? It would be 1,000 people a day. Come on. This is insane. I'm done.
Yeah. So I obviously
– I love Tristan when he's angry.
I took my fucking licks. I gave them my information. I took my fucking blue slip court order. Now I have 2 court dates in Montreal because that's not going to cost money.
Yeah.
And, you know, lawyers and shit. Anyways, I'll get into that in a minute. So I fucking leave the situation. I meet back up with Jeremy. I meet up with Chris and they're both just like, well, that was fucking fucked. So what happened was Jeremy recorded it all. He got the video. Awesome. Good job. He was the guy that wasn't going to let anyone drive away. New best friend. Thank you. Shout out again. Mm-hmm. And Chris took off because he actually was drinking and had booze on him. So he took off and called to get Bo's number. So Bo knew what the fuck was going on, but he had to make like a few roundabout calls to do that. So fucking shout out to Chris to taking care of friend business, man.
That's cool.
Fucking right. These guys are awesome.
It's good to know you have fucking good people with you that aren't just.
Oh yeah. And I knew they were good people I knew they were great people to begin with. So I was like, this is like just sort of best case scenario. However, here's what this comes down to. I'm fucking pissed off and I'm going to fight this.
Oh, absolutely.
And I got a lawyer. And Martin hooked me up, and I'm gonna fucking. I'm not doing
well,
this.
Yeah, you want to? You're not gonna take the shit lying down. But this is the shitty part too, and this goes into like again, you know, there's good cops, there's bad cops, there's good people, shitty people, whatever. But the fact that it is just a job, it's like this, you know, them fucking giving you that much. It's part of a fucking broken system, and I'm not saying I have a solution, but that's the thing. They have the power to completely fuck you over. You know, whether like you said, this is like. Best case scenario, because, you know, there's a slight chance it could have just booked you, clicked you up and booked you for the fucking night and made it that much worse, you know, and I'm not saying that's going to hold up, but the fact is they don't really, there's not much accountability there. Like,
it's not their problem anymore.
You going to fucking court for this? You having to go to Montreal to go to court for this? It's just like if you get a fucking speeding ticket and you're like, fuck this. I wasn't fucking speeding. I'm fucking fighting this. You show up in court to fucking fight it. You take the fucking day off work. You fucking go through all this bullshit. You show up in court and yeah, it'll probably get thrown out because the cop's not going to take the fucking day to show up in court to fucking fight with you over it. He's just like, oh, well, shit. I took care of that night. I fucking either, whether it was getting out his aggressions or maybe he thought he was in the right for whatever fucking the case may be. Then a month or 2 months later down the road when you have to show up in court and then he's got to show up in court to basically hash this situation out. You're fucking, it's your life. You know, this is something huge that fucking happened to you. It's a fucking everyday fucking occurrence for this guy to, you know, throw somebody in the back of his car, click him up, take him to fucking jail. And so you become just like anything else that you do in life. And this, you know, I understand because I've had terrible, almost every run-in I've had with the fucking police has been bad. It's very, very rarely good. Yet, I know quite a few police officers that are great fucking people. But what it comes down to is the fact that when it's your job and you do it day in and day out, just like everybody else and everybody else's job, you kind of desensitize to some of the shit. So you may not even fucking realize it. You're like, I just had a bad fucking day. I've been on a fucking shift all fucking night, or I just pulled a double or whatever, and I'm just being a shithead. But if I'm a fucking shithead at work because I'm in a bad mood, I irritate the five other guys that fucking work with me. You know, and that's that. If, you know, if you got a cop that had a shitty day and is a bad mood, he can fuck your life over. By a decision that he made. And that's the fucking problem, is the fact that, you know, there's a very good chance you fucking rile up on this, you fucking lawyer up, you take your shit to court, and yeah, I mean, if he shows up and tries to fight you with it, you know, there's a good chance you're gonna win because you fucking lawyered up and you're prepared to fucking defend yourself on this because it's bullshit. But at the same time, there's a good chance you're gonna go to Montreal, you're gonna fucking hire your lawyer, and then he's not even gonna show up, the case is gonna get thrown out, and it's no skin off his back whatsoever, he's not gonna remember your face, your name, or anything about you, and yet you are stuck with going through all this bullshit, losing your fucking time and money of being at work because you have to be in Montreal, losing your money that you had to spend on a fucking lawyer just so that the dude can be like, oh yeah, that was like a couple months ago and I was in a bad mood, so I was giving this guy shit for stealing.
Kevy, do you even fucking breathe? Holy shit. Right. I was like, at the end of this sentence, I'll cut him off. Okay, I'm cutting you off. Okay, right. Fucking drink while I talk. If that happens, then I'm gonna fuck with this guy. I'm not kidding you. I'm not even fucking kidding you, because people like this are dangerous to the public. Kevy, let me finish here. So, people like this are dangerous to the public.
Right.
Because they're unsafe, they're unpredictable, and they're not upholding the law.
Right.
That is not what their intention is. That is not what they're doing here.
Right.
So, if I fucking lawyer up, which I did, and if I do plan to go to court, which me or my lawyer will be there, and the guy doesn't show up, then my time is going to be put into making sure that at least a little tiny bit of this, at least one shred, one post-it note, one file folder, one pink slip is in his file, because that's the only thing that I can do to try and prevent this from happening to someone else,
right,
from this person. That's right. The only thing I can do. That or give up. And I will not give up because of the way that I have been left, like...
Well, yeah, you're
I'm a fucking ball of rage for other people. This is just unacceptable. And I have the means, and I have the support of my friends, and I assure you, the SVU...
Oh, yeah, of course.
To fucking try and fight this. I've talked, and Martin Brunet and our buddy William have already used the words mobilized. So we plan, I'm not kidding you.
At least they didn't say weaponized.
I'm not kidding you. We plan on making sure that whatever it takes, this doesn't cost me any money.
Right.
And any other resource we can put in. I don't want money. I need to make sure that it is a known fact that this person is unsafe.
Right.
They're unfit to serve the public.
Right.
Because, no, some people suck at their fucking jobs.
And it sucks because I absolutely 100% agree with you. But the shitty part of it is, you know, best case scenario, you do get some fucking action out of this. You do get, you know, the guy gets in some sort of trouble, which I highly doubt was going to be anything that he's going to even give a shit about. But, you know, maybe even a slight reprimand or something like that. It's not like you're going to get this guy off the fucking streets as a cop, which sucks. But the fact is like, I mean, fuck, dude, like, even if, like, the golden scenario happened and somehow it stirs up a fucking hornet's nest and turns out this dude's been doing it all over the place and then a bunch of people start filing suits against this guy and yada yada and you get this guy fired. Right on. You got
maybe,
right? Yeah, and that, I mean, that's fucking pipe dreams. Like, but what I'm saying is, like, even in that scenario, you got rid of one asshole cop, and it's just gonna keep happening to other people from other cops that are fucking dicks. Like, it sucks. You know, and it sucks, Sandy. I know that there are fans of ours, and I know that there are, like, I have close personal friends, and I have family members that are fucking police officers, and that's the fucking problem. I know those people, and I know they're good fucking people, but it's a job that they do, and sometimes, you know, everybody, there's a whole broad spectrum of fucking people out there. Sometimes people are good people and they suck at their fucking job. Sometimes they're shitty people and shitty at their jobs. But the fact is, like, having the power of a fucking peace officer is, it's dangerous because, like we said, this kind of shit can happen. I know fucking, you know, Spivey, he's a fucking cop. Fucking Jeff Woods, fucking rockstar. He's a fucking cop. They're great fucking people. I personally have a fucking aunt that's a police officer in Virginia. I have my old bass player, one of my good fucking friends from a previous band that I've known since we were fucking kids, is a fucking sheriff in the next county over. But I, you know, a lot of people I grew up with and I know are cops and they're great.
My own stepbrother. Like, I know these people. We're not talking about cops. We're talking about shitty fucking people.
Uh-huh. Shitty people that were given a badge. Because that's the thing, is I know, like, a lot of the police force in Ridgecrest here, you know, I'm getting older now, so not so much of them, but for a good portion of time, like, you know, now there's some younger cops on the force that I don't know. But, fuck, dude, like, through my 20s, when I was at my worst, there was fucking, like, most of the fucking police force I knew from growing up together. And a good chunk of those cops were shitty kids that got fucking picked on in high school and then got a badge and decided they were going to take all that shit out on everybody else that picked on them in high school. And not me personally, because I was the type to fucking, like, pick on people in high school. I got picked on more than anything. And, you know, I would see other people that they would act that way too. And you could tell, you know, they get all big in their britches because they got a fucking badge now and they would treat them like shit. I'd see fucking cops. Jesus Christ. I had this one little situation I ran into at one point. There were two cops in town. I didn't go to school with them, but I knew who they were and they were assholes all the fucking time. They were just big fucking tough guy cops all the time. And then I ran into it at the time. Fucking my girlfriend was 19 and they were like, I had gone out to the bar, cause I was 21 at the time. Gone out to the bar, girlfriend was 19 and she ended up having a party at her house. We got into some shit. I went back over there and those two cops are hanging out, fucking drinking, having a great old fucking time. I lost my shit cause I didn't like them in the first place. And they're just like, whoa, 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 you need to calm down. You need to fucking step the fuck back. I was like, dude, you're not in a uniform right now and you're in my fucking under 21 girlfriend's fucking house fucking drinking. I will knock you the fuck out and get away scot-free. So you need to fucking quit your cop attitude right now and chill the fuck out. I was like, you guys have no fucking business being here. And that's what I'm saying is, like, those guys were shitty fucking people, shitty fucking cops, and they were there just hanging out with, you know, not underage girls, but, like, under drinking age girls drinking at their house while I'm out at a fucking bar fucking drinking legally like I'm supposed to be. Yet, the next day, they'd go suit up and fucking be cops and could ruin my life. If they pulled me over, they'd be like, oh, fuck you. Yeah, you just fucking gave us a bunch of fucking lip and attitude last night and could take and fucking destroy my life over...
Terrifying.
Over a fucking... you know, a busted taillight or something dumb like that. It's just scary that, you know, I'm not saying that police officers don't go through proper training and a vetting process, but, you know, there's a lot of shit that doesn't come up in that. Or there's a lot of people's attitudes that change over the years. You know, whether you end up not liking, whether you're a fucking racist or you just don't like a certain type of people, you're gonna treat them fucking differently. And we all tend to have, like, even the most open-minded people out there, and the most liberal people out there do tend to, we're still humans. We have that fucking tendency to, like, you know, if you've been burned by a certain type of person enough times, you tend to not like that type of person. You tend to be a little stereotypical, even if you're the best of the best at being, you know, open-minded. And when you give that, when you give somebody, you know, a human like that, you give somebody that kind of fucking power, then all of a sudden they start running into people and they fucking hate. Another cop, a dude I grew up with, became a cop. He's like, dude, I don't give a fuck about anybody, but I fucking hate tweakers. And I get that, like, tweakers are shitty, but it's the fact that it's like, he would, anybody that he kind of, like, anybody else, he was a cool ass cop too, he'd fucking stop you and let you go, you know, hey man, you're driving too fast, fucking take off. But if you were a tweaker, man, he had it fucking out for you. And that's the problem. I mean, like, it's a bad example because, I mean, tweakers are usually shitty people, but it's the fact that if you can have some sort of predisposed, whether it be race, whether it be a certain group, but, you know, income level, whatever, and you have the power to act one way towards them and one way and a different way towards somebody else, like, that's not the way that this system should work. I don't, I'm done.
It was bad. Fucking French people.
Mm-hmm.
No, just, it's, anyways, these guys were just dicks and they were out to get me. So, I'll be keeping track of said legal fees and yada, 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 and we will try and make this as least painful on everyone involved as possible, except all of them.
Yeah. Make it harder for them. That's why, like, I know you're not, like, in it for the money, but that's what I'm saying. Like, as far as countersuit goes, like, that might not be a bad idea. Not so that, you're not in it for the money, but to fucking get back the money that you had to sink into fucking trying to charge your phone real quick. In a public
right?
place.
So, like, so there's some interesting laws that I've been told about, as of late. It's crazy how much you learn in a short period of time.
Yeah.
There's something to the effect of, because what was taken can't be quantified monetarily.
Right.
There's an argument that nothing was actually even stolen at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you take how much electricity it takes to turn your phone on, because I remember seeing the Samsung sign, and then getting arrested, I will be going through and calculating how much kilowattage per hour, as many decimal points as it takes, to discover what that actually costs in dollars and cents.
Right.
Because there might be a rare corner case argument that I didn't actually steal anything.
Well, I mean, when you get into that side of it, I mean, there's nothing, like, yeah, you saw the Samsung logo, but I've also fucking, like, my phone has died before, and I've gone to turn it back on, and it'll start to try to turn back on, and then, like, you'll see the Apple logo, and then it'll fucking tell you you need to charge your phone, it's too fucking dead. So, like, there's nothing, like, that cop has absolutely no proof whatsoever that your charger actually was functioning.
Right?
There's no proof whatsoever that outlet was on, that outlet may, you know, whether they could find out, of course, whether it's on a switch or anything. There's no solid proof that outlet was actually transferring electricity to your phone. Your cord could have been fucked up. Your charger cord could have been fucked up.
And my phone already had battery, and that's why it turned on.
Yeah,
right?
And again, it doesn't seem that he went that far in depth into it, like, to see, well, you know, you said your phone was dead and now your phone's on because I can see that it's on over here. Like, he said you're stealing power. Just because it was fucking plugged in doesn't mean you were getting power out of it. And I mean, that's the difference between whether you showed up in court by yourself and tried to fight it or you having a lawyer. That's the kind of shit a lawyer is going to fucking do, is be like, oh, do you have any definitive proof that power was actually transferred through that outlet to his phone? So that it was, you know, not only what you're saying, the fact that, like, trying to quantify, like, the monetary amount of electricity
which I could have taken. Yeah, there's no proof that it actually transferred.
That it actually transferred to your phone in the first place. So, like, again, this guy, this cop probably has no intention of even showing up to fucking court to try to, like, fight this and try to, like, there's no point for him to, like, all he's gonna get out of it a month later or whenever your court date is, to actually take the time to go to court and sit there and fucking testify that he saw your fucking phone plugged in and he saw a beer bottle next to you that he can't prove that had anything to do with you, and your phone plugged into a public outlet. Like, it's a no-win case for his side. So he's not going to show up to it. Again, you're fucked because you have to put all the fucking time and effort. And we're going back in a circle. This is why I hate the fucking justice system. So,
yep. Yeah, so there's that. I'll I got a bit of a written word about that if anyone's more interested, a couple videos, but really what the whole lesson of all of this is
that Tristan hates French people.
Is that Niantic? No, that Niantic should be paying my loyal fees because of Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what this
if you can't
down to.
If you can't grow up Montreal and realize that you have to function with other countries and other adults, just don't have a city, don't have a culture.
Move to
that,
France.
That's you're like I'm willing to accept you again. I'm willing to give you another chance, but apparently you don't want it. Instead, you'd rather just be pricks all the time, like all of history has ever said to be true. So
go fuck yourself.
And this isn't from like an American who wandered onto your soil and doesn't know any of your strange ways. It's not like that's the situation. No. This Tony is literally from your fucking backyard, and this is how
I'm literally the neighbor.
Right.
Yes.
Just looking for a cup of sugar, baby.
Insane that this is our
sugar.
Yeah. So
let's move on to greener pastures. What do you guys think?
Let's talk about Magic the Gathering.
Hey guys, I just want to say real quick, thanks for letting me process that. You know, I feel a lot better because I've been filled with rage and bullshit for the last day, so.
Oh,
thanks.
That's one of the advantages of being on a podcast. You can just rant about shit. And then not only do you get to like bounce those thoughts and ideas off of your fucking wonderful co-hosts here, but you know that fucking dozens upon dozens of people are gonna listen to this podcast, and they may have similar experiences. They may have, you know, whether it be from your side of things, from a law enforcement side of things, or from a law side of things. Like, you know, I know we know a few lawyers. The Booze Cube himself, that motherfucker's a lawyer, and of course we've got Martin, you know, and you may get feedback and ideas and, you know, like you did mention before, like precedent, like this case being a precedent thing, but like, or legal precedent to this, you know, that our fucking dozens of followers may be able to impart on you. So.
Right. Everybody's got a little knowledge and I got friends in low places.
Yeah. I'm definitely one of those friends that's in a low place. I've definitely dealt with that, like with your side of the cop quite a few times. But you know, again, we've got fucking homies. We got SVU members that are fucking police officers, and you may get a fucking reply. It's like, oh, hey, man, you got to understand this is the type, you know, I don't know what they would say, but like, this is the type of shit we deal with. And this is maybe where this officer was coming from, and give you a little bit of insight into it. Not saying that it was okay, but give you some insight into it. You may get one of our police officer friends. It's all, no, fuck that guy. I've got one of those guys on my fucking squad and I fucking hate him because he's a piece of shit and he fucking treats people like shit. And you know, you never know, but getting it out there instead of you just talking to a couple close friends about it and dwelling on it and raging about it, you know, you being able to get it out in a public forum like this. And especially with, you know, you said you typed up a fucking article about it. Too, like getting it out in these public forums with the reach that we do have, brings a lot of other opinions in and may help you on your fucking legal journey through it.
Yo, I want to shout out every person who gets up and goes to work every day, regardless of your job, and just tries to make somebody else's life better.
Yeah.
You know, like someone who actually just says like, I'm gonna fucking hold a door for someone.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna buy someone's coffee today. Cause not everyone does it every day. Some people may say they do, some people may actually. But shout out to the fucking people who think about that every now and then and hold the elevator for the person running or stop the fucking bus when you weren't even going to get on it so that someone can catch up. Shout out to fucking those people. They rule.
Absolutely. You got to just fucking...
Those are my homies.
It's not hard to be a fucking person in this world. I've done a lot of fucking bad shit in my life. But like, all in all, like, I like...
I call it stupid shit.
Yeah, dumb little shit just to make people happy.
But you know what? No, like you've done bad shit. Yeah, sure. Done bad shit, but it's stupid shit.
Right.
Because, yeah, there's a lot of bad shit you did that had no, you know, victims, you know, there's that, and that shit just stupid.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there's definitely, some ambiguity a little bit, but, I definitely am open to discussion. I'm willing to talk about maybe some stories that people have had or like started a, start a conversation about this, you know, try and keep it positive. That's what we always do. This is what this is. Yep. I'm ranting. This is my forum to say, fuck those guys. Fuck that. Like, this is the spot that I can do it. I'm going to take everything else in the proper procedures with the proper, you know, advisement and counsel. Like, I'm not a fucking idiot. I know how to go to court. Like, my old best friend was a lawyer. Like, I have very good counsel. Like, I'm not an asshole. This is just my ranting forum. So please, if people want to fucking talk about this, tweet me. You know the Twitter. Awesome every day.
You know the Twitter.
You know, man. Okay, let's talk about magic. Woo!
Magics. Right. So, what? From the Vault Lore was spoiled and, like, fucking Dark Depths is the only good card in it?
That's debatable.
There's three good cards, Kevy. Come on.
Yeah. So, Tony's the one that works.
I stand corrected. I'm sorry. The Dark Depths token is the only good card that we get out of it.
Okay, that's a half a card. There's 3.5 good cards, Kevy. Okay, let's bring it up.
I'm excited about.
Step one. The set symbol is awesome. It's a castle that turns into a scroll. That's fucking dope.
That is pretty cool. I like that.
That's definitely a reason why I buy and or own magic cards. Sorry.
Hey, PSG, starting strong. PSG, you need to actually take a step back because you have your own fucking set symbol, okay?
This is why I'm allowed to...
Get off your high horse, alright?
That's why I'm allowed to look down on you fucking peasants.
Let's talk about set symbols here, because I feel like they've been getting more, like, detailed and complicated, A, to help prevent counterfeiting, but B, to maybe, like, tell a little bit more about what's going on in the set.
I think the biggest reason is because they're running out of shit.
Yeah. Come on, Kevy. Come on, fuck. Well, like, okay, the Emrakul Liliana mask meld.
Yeah.
That was actually kind of fucking sweet, like, right?
Yeah.
Have you looked at the set symbols from Kaladesh and, like, fires or whatever they're called? Those are fucking sweet.
Yeah.
This set could have easily been a tower or a scroll, right?
Right.
But instead,
they're like, fuck, the cards here suck. We better make it exciting so people will buy it.
Yeah.
So there's a reason that I'm on this set symbol is because I just learned for the first time while I was out from my friend Raymond at the bar that have you heard of the Drowning Man Guru Island?
What?
Have you ever heard of this?
No.
I mean, I've heard of the Guru Island.
Yeah.
Okay. So the reason this came up is because on the weekend, a good friend of mine, Aaron Kasperzak, shout out to him. He'll listen to the cast this week. He top aided GP Columbus with Miracles. Shout out to him. Fucking respect. He only lost to Joel Lissette in the top 8 in a mirror. Joel Lissette's deck was a little bit suited properly to beat the mirror. Aaron took it to 3 games. Good job. Shout out Aaron. He's on the pro tour. Fucking right. Yeah. So, I'm at the face booth, GP Montreal, hanging out, cruising around, and I see a Guru Plains. And I know Aaron's been trying to guru out his islands for his miracle deck, or his planes for his miracle deck, because he's fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, I take a picture of the planes and I send it to him and I get a response instantly that says like, actually I just made a deal for like the rest of my planes, like I'm all set. And I'm like, okay, cool. Just looking out for it. And he's like, yeah, man, thanks. I really appreciate you looking out for me. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep looking around and I see an island. So I snap him another quick pic and it's near mint and I give him the front. I give him the back. I'm looking, I'm fucking talking to Steven at the face to face booth and we're haggling it out. And Aaron says, yep, pull the trigger, buy it for me. So I buy a fucking Guru Island.
God damn
if you don't know what a Guru Island goes for these days,
it's the most expensive island because it also taps for blue. No, it's people. Here's the thing about Guru Lands. Either you know or you don't care. So you're in one of the two groups, right? Like it doesn't matter.
If
you don't care, be blissfully happy you don't care. Because I think if you found out what they were, if you found out what they were worth, you'd be mad at Magic the Gathering. Because again, it just taps for a blue. Much like the ones you throw away every day when you open new booster bags.
To be fair, this one is drawn by Therese Nielsen. Untouchable as hands down one of the best MTG and most prolific artists of all time.
Yes, not disputed,
correct?
Yes. I love her.
She is phenomenal. So obviously these Guru Lands have another sort of like audience.
And that's the problem, and
that's the point. Anyway,
it bothers me because I love the art on those. I love that effect that she does with them, and it bothers me that they're so ridiculously expensive because of their rarity that I can't just have that art.
So I get Aaron his island, and oh man, I'm getting kind of drunk. Why am I talking about this? Oh yeah, okay. So I get Aaron his island, and I put it away safe. It's good. It's like everything's good. I'm going to give it to him today when the podcast comes out, and we start talking about it. And I was like, yeah, like I ended up buying a Guru Island like this weekend. I've never done that before. It was really crazy. It was a crazy experience, super surreal, like looking at him like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. And you don't even tap for a black or a green, right? Like, it's just blue.
Just island.
So we're talking about it, and Raymond, my fucking wise Eldrazi deck sharing mentor now, says to me, have you ever heard of the Drowning Man Island? And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, the Drowning Man Island, look it up. And he finds it. So imagine this, proxy guy, you can picture this perfectly. Tristan, picture this in your mind. You're printing a Guru Land. Your first layer of print on a white surface is the stamp, correct?
Right.
Okay. Like the gold Guru stamp. Or it's the very last. Either one, it doesn't matter.
Most likely the very last, but I'll go with it.
Okay. It's upside down. So it's on the left-hand side of the card, upside down, and it looks like a guy, his head and his arms drowning in the lake. Look it up.
Ah.
And it's the rarest of the gurus.
Ah. So it's like just the islands. Is it like the islands are like that? Or is it the fact, like there are only certain guru islands
just
that are
stamp.
Like that?
Look it up. Look it up. It's just the stamp that's upside down. So.
Wait, no. But what I'm saying is like, are all guru islands, did they have that fucking, that defect? Or
it's
is
the
it like
stamp. No, only the special ones.
Oh, so they're more extra rare.
Exactly, because I was like,
elite is not elite enough.
Yeah,
exactly, because I was like, I have a Guru Island, it doesn't look like this, because that's what I thought. I was like, oh, maybe they're all fucked up. But no, if you look at the picture of the Drowning Man Guru Island, have you looked it up, Kevy?
I'm looking at it right now, I'm trying to pull it up.
If you Google it, Drowning Man Island, or Drowning Man Guru Island, it'll be like the second picture.
Yep, that's fucking crazy.
Right? That's a Magic card I had never seen before this weekend. In all of my travels, dealings, talkings, mysteries, mystique, this was a brand new Magic card that was introduced to me this weekend, and that's why I fucking love this game. It never ceases to amaze me.
Wow. That's fucking crazy,
right? And it looks like a little drowning guy. Whee!
Yeah. He's like, oh shit, I'm fucking sinking.
Back to things not nearly as exciting as that.
Oh yeah, the FB. So the sets.
We were talking about this from the Vault Lore, and I've got the article open. I could pretty much recreate my feelings in real time here. So I open up this list. Beseech the Queen. Crap.
Yeah.
Cabal Ritual. Okay. Well, you need four of those. So effectively, crap. Conflux. Crap. Dark Depths. Already past its prime. Glissa. Crap. Hell Vault. Crap. Memnarch, didn't that just get reprinted recently? Mind's Desire, okay, on its third printing and for a totally separate audience from the people that usually buy this product. Momir
and the
Vig,
worst art of all time.
Crap. Near-Death Experience, the biggest crap possible. Obliterate, again, totally past its prime. Phyrexian Processor, also got a reprint not that long ago, so what's going on? Again, foil, I guess maybe for the first time, I'll have to go and look that one up. Teleria West, ha ha ha, so glad I sold my foils of that a little while ago when they shot up. Jite, the money card in this whole box and the reason people will care about it. And finally, Unmask, way past its prime. If you'd printed that literally 15 years ago, people would go apeshit for it the way they should have.
Right.
Again, this has been today's example of my reaction to this set in real time. I don't know how you felt about it, but a lot of that was crap.
Well, see, I feel like I just said that before we started this, and you're just like, no, there's a few good cards.
Well, there are a few.
Okay,
it's not 15.
Let me talk about what I actually like about it, because I can't seem to find it because I'm ridiculous and can't pull it up. Anyways, I actually like the new Momir Vig art. I think that one is actually kind of cool. It's like a pretty sweet commander, like, it's like got a format named after it, like, there's like some, when you hear Momir Vig, maybe you want to like learn more about the game, or it opens up something new to you that you didn't learn before. That one I actually kind of get, and I actually kind of like the art on the Momir Vig. I think it looks kind of cool.
Okay.
But we're talking, that is all. That's it. That's all you
have. That is all.
So that's how we feel about this set. Because not a damn thing beside that fucking Merit Lage token made me happy about this set. And I have one of those.
Proxy Guy could kill the Merit Lage token any day of the week because it's not a real fucking Magic card, so who cares what it looks like?
Yeah, no shit.
And why did you make it look the same? Why didn't you give it an expedition frame or do literally anything other than reprint this token that basically every Legacy player doesn't give a shit about ever? Because they either have a token that's worth 50 times that because they're playing Guru lands in their deck, or they don't give a shit because when you make a Merit Lage, your opponent concedes.
Right.
And they use like a fucking shoe or something because they don't bring tokens because when you make Merit Lages, people die.
Yeah.
I usually just use my phone.
Right, like you use the most ridiculous thing because you're like, you're dead.
Yeah, you take take a picture of your middle finger.
Yeah.
Set that as your background and then set your phone out there.
That's what a Merit Lage token should be, except they reprinted the exact same fucking thing. Total fail.
I have one.
Jitte, again, like, cool, now we have like a pack foil-esque printing, but the promo was also a foil printing that was affordable and had art equally as shitty as this art. So why not give it something good? Like, this is not iconic. This is, the art on this is an icon of destruction and despair and dark times. It's not a symbol of hope and peace and love.
On what?
In a galaxy far, far away.
I just found it. Yeah, I have a Merit Lage token with Grumpy Travis's autograph on it.
Aren't they so glad they reprinted it for you so now you can have it with a worse set symbol?
Yay. And a worse foiling
process? Well, it might have the same foiling process, but probably a worse foiling process.
I don't know.
Anyways, so what else is going on in the world of Magic? Because I don't want to talk about this too much. We'll keep the positive vibes going, all right?
Yes, we were starting to get into Matty territory there with our feelings about all this stuff going on. No, so the biggest announcement that came obviously today, the day we are recording, are the, two big things. One will, the one that's important for really nobody, that being the, changes to the pro, actually no, it's important for us as spectators and viewers and consumers
and
of
me,
the Pro Tour.
I'm trying to put people on the Pro Tour through tournament series and like, people that come into my store every day, some of them are trying to get to the Pro Tour every day, or are Rich Hohen. Those are the people that come into my store.
So there are changes to the Pro Tour, as we mentioned. Let's where to begin. So they're adding, so just like Counter-Strike, or just like anything that's good about Magic, Commander or EDH is my favorite example. Anything that worked well, Wizards will now take credit for and kind of like shoehorn into our own community. So we used to have EDH and we got Commander. We used to have Pro Tour teams that were put together all by their lonesome, you know, completely generated on their own, and slowly got more coverage, got more kind of like traction with the Pro Tour, became a bigger part as coverage grew. Now we've come full circle. Now, there is literally a cash bonus for being part of a team, incentivized for putting a team together. Mm. It's going to be $20,000 per event, I believe. $40,000 per season. The first Pro Tour of the season that you have a team and you're only eligible to submit a team for the first two Pro Tours, because they want to build these brands. They want to follow them. They want to have something to talk about during fucking 12 hours of nonstop. We refuse to sell commercial time for money.
Yep.
Programming that they do a day. So your team has to be at least 9 players. All the points from the players in the first Pro Tour put towards your team total. And then subsequently the top 6 players for the remaining two events of the season will be counted, so we'll follow those participants as we go into the final season. The top team, I believe, gets something in the neighborhood of $12,000 to be split among the players. It's really free money. You know, it's a little bit of redistribution of the wealth that we had from where the tournament money go, where do things get restructured, things that matter to, again, none of our audience. But again, in terms of spectatorship and what we watch, the product is becoming more streamlined. The product is becoming more engaging with that aspect of coverage, which is all in all good. I think it's money well spent, and plenty of people that aren't on the one team I don't like are going to have plenty of opportunities to get some free checks here, and that's great. So in terms of viewership, that's spectacular. The next biggest thing, or the next most important thing, has got to be the change to the pro, to the top eight play structure. Now, we've talked about, even on this show in the past, the articles that were popular talking about changing tournament draws, the how prevalent intentional draws are, how they can really affect later rounds of a tournament. I'm sure anyone listening to this cast has probably had some exposure to watching later rounds of a Pro Tour, later rounds of a Grand Prix, and the feature matches not featuring people you maybe are even going to see in Top 8, but trying to find drama in other things because those players are getting concessions, they're getting intentional draws, they're you know, already positioned in the Top 8, so there's not a lot of drama in those final couple of rounds of Swiss. Well, now...
Or there's the bunch of drama with the whole Conley Woods and all the talking about the conceding to pros and stuff, right? Like, there's the flip side of that where there was, like, a ton of drama about people not conceding to known pros in their, like, win-and-ins and how that affected their... Oh, no, this wasn't Conley Woods. This is Eric Froelich talking about this.
Oh, okay, okay. But I was like, I know of stories with Conley, but I didn't know those stories were necessarily public domain or anything. Okay.
I apologize, yes. Conley, not you.
No, I mean, if you're inside a lot of these things, you know.
So the later rounds of a tournament are kind of fucked up. That's what we're saying.
Sure. Fucked up is a very aggressive way to look at it. I would say that those that have been there before know what they need and know how to make it work, and those that haven't been there before can be at a great disadvantage of being naive or maybe not necessarily having as many allies or resources to draw from. And those are, to me, a couple different arguments or aspects that can be all kind of drawn together. Like, and I don't want to tackle all of those subjects right now, but rather look at it from the standpoint of the viewer and look at it from, you know, what's going to put the best product forward for them to look at. And this is a step in that direction. While I still think that on day two of a Grand Prix or all the way through a Pro Tour, draws could be worth 0 points. There are some feel bads, you know, as we talked about before with unintentional draws and the way things kind of work out. But I think that this is a huge step in the right direction. That is that the higher your seed is at the end of the Swiss, kind of buys in the top eight you're going to have. It's a modified top eight bracket where the lower four seeds all have to play to see to advance, and then you kind of get placed up against the higher seeds who, because they had those top four seeds, are going to get, you know, one or kind of two buys in the top eight. With that top one seed of a Swiss of a tournament kind of just getting to hang out most of Sunday to wait to play for a big match, making it that you're playing for a lot of money at the end of the second day of a Pro Tour, as opposed to all of the third day of a Pro Tour.
Yeah. So number one at the end of Swiss is the goal.
Very much, like, so now. Very
the
much
best
so now.
In the tournament is the goal, not just making top eight. It's not all about who's top eight, let's start over, who's top eight. It's who won the tournament, now let's figure out who is the ultimate winner.
Which, you know, is kind of a combination effort, combination feeling of years past. You know, if you think about it, hockey playoffs are really good example. As long as you get to the playoffs, your chances are almost as good as anyone else. You still got to win best of seven. You still get to play all those games. You know, you're rooting for the underdog, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in Magic, the thing that separates first place from eighth place in a lot of these tournaments leading up to today would maybe be pretty small margins. So you almost couldn't really even tell. Where nowadays, again, things have changed. We're finding a middle area there. I think it's going to be better for viewership overall. I think it's going to be better for the game overall. And I also think it's not the end of changes we're going to see like this. I think this is kind of in a middle.
Tristan, you say viewership and game, and I think coverage. Like you said, like, this is going to let... When people are incentivized to play in super teams, they are opening themselves up for the opportunity for stories to be made about their team. Therefore, if Wizards puts the effort into giving the tools to make stories about these teams, we as viewers, and as far as coverage goes, will be flooded with information and coverage and knowledge and video and content, and we will just be where our generation is, like, impossible to saturate with information. It's like you can't give us enough coverage. We'll watch it all. We'll watch it all twice. So I think this is, like, a really sweet step, like you said, in the 12-hour long days of not showing commercials and refusing to sell out and give anyone any airtime whatsoever, and then forcing Rich Hagon and Brian David Marshall to recount all of history of Magic. I respect both of those men immensely and love what they bring to the game, but God, give them a break. Pre-record some footage about these teams, like the Netflix series or whatever it was on that, like featured Jacob Wilson, to me was like 10 out of 10.
Interesting. See, I felt it wasn't bad, but it didn't really showcase the greater picture, and I think you could have focused on other things, but those are all, you know, whatever.
So 10 out of 10 is definitely an overstatement. Let's call it 4 out of 10. That's what I really meant. So.
Okay.
If you had have shown me that during a pro tour, I would have been fucking floored. Like, if that had just been the content that you were showing all day, and then we go back and instead of watching reruns or between matches or things like that, then we see other Team X, and like, that's the type of production we're watching all weekend across these major teams that are now getting like paid to travel and play together, and we can see their houses and have like little tidbits of information and maybe see their testing and stuff because the tournament's there and like it's all about the viewers and the coverage. There is massive potential for this to just be amazing. So please, please let 1/10 of it happen and I will be happy.
So, I mean, it poses the question, how do you feel right now in terms of coverage? You know, again, we got our new Grand Prix schedule, which is kind of the next topic, but before we get there, it's kind of a bridge. You know, we had a downtick in kind of coverage this last year, not as many events being just happening and then not as much coverage for said events. Do you think that this is overall positive change in terms of, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I guess what I mean to say is, with this many hours of coverage for, like, let's say a pro tour, do you think the time could be better used? Do you want more of it? Do you want less of it? Or do you think it's right where we want to be? We're just not giving the right kind of content for the amount of time we have.
I think they can do two things better. One, produce more pre-recorded content. And that's how you develop stories about people. You see them go in to do their regular day job, or the fact that they don't, that they actually are like sort of pro gamers and they wake up and they get on Moto and they do their thing and how they live, because you're trying to tell us that these Magic pros are superstars and they're getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to play this game. Well, like, show me where they live. Like, show me the other things that they're doing in their life, and just putting an amount of effort into actually caring about the people. And I don't say you need to follow around every pro with a camera all the time.
I want
to
see an episode of MTV.
But if you took, yeah, right? If you took every person who's on the pro tour and made a box saying, would you be interested in having a 30 to 40 minute documentary shot with you over 4 to 5 days, or 1 to 2 days, or 1 to 2 weeks at, like, just minutes at a time, whatever it costs. Right. How many of them do you think would turn it down, and how many of them do you think, I finally fucking made it, I can be famous? Because if I win the pro tour, they have my whole story.
Yeah.
Right? That's, like, a huge incentive, and then you just get to pick and choose out of the people who, like, want it. Yeah, this is, like, a multi-year process, and you're thinking, like, you're booking things, like, seasons at a time, so 3 months or 4 months, whatever the season breaks down to, 4 year, 3 year, whatever, or you're following only X person this year because of the way that they finished at Worlds and how they're going to get to Worlds again. That's their story. That's what they get. Owen Turtenwald is a World Championship story, and we'll show his story at the World Championship, and we will not follow him the way that we'll put the effort into Louis Scott Vargas, who's this media also player thing, who's got this really cool, unique story, and we're not going to follow him the same way that we'd follow Reed Duke and the Peach Garden Oath, who's actually like a team who like live together now and all their cool things that they do and all the testing that they do. Everyone's got a fucking story, and every person that's not only an open wallet waiting for this game to tell their story, we deserve it. We want it. We're in love with this game and the people, right, and the potential here. Like, we're just give it, extract it and give it to us, like, hook it to our veins.
Yeah, no shit.
Right? There's massive potential with coverage and being able to afford to give more players money, because now Wizards is going to say, yeah, your super team's going to get an extra $20,000 a year if you do well. Also, do you want us to, like, follow you around and cover you? Because you guys are obviously going to try and fucking do well, because you're going to make more money if you do it. Of course you want your story covered. Of course Reed Duke has a story to tell. Of course the East Team East West Bowl. Who the fuck is Team East West Bowl? And like, how did they top eight the last five Pro Tours? Where the fuck did they come from? They're like some of the greatest players in the world. Right? Like, I'm sure not everyone even knows what the Peach Garden Oath is, and they've had a documentary about them. Like, the Channel Fireball Pantheon and Channel Fireball, what's the difference? Everyone has a story, and all of the players who are aspiring to be these pros, these superheroes, these super villains, if you will, to try and take down the reigning champion and be that underdog who just spikes a Pro Tour out from anyone, everyone's got a fucking story, and everyone wants to hear them.
Right.
I agree. Mostly because TV sucks.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is that.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I don't know. Like, I haven't watched much coverage in a while. I just got other shit going on in life.
Because
but
because I haven't told you every week, yo, you fucking have to watch this, dude. It's dope. If I told you this every week, like, man, okay, here's the exact excerpt. It's 1 hour. You're like, you have to watch this. It's fucking awesome. You would watch it.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, yeah.
But there isn't anything for me to tell you that because here's how the trickle-down affects. You address the people who are hook, line, and sinker for your product. You make them shit their fucking pants. You blow their mind. You completely exceed their expectations. Then those people tell every person they know. Even people that don't want to listen to them, especially people that don't want to listen to them, because how can you not fucking want to be a part of this thing? It's the craziest thing ever. You're specifically targeting people you want to have this information just by producing quality content.
Right.
So
with that
I hope we see a lot of coverage next year. Mm. I personally was frustrated that we only covered one of the legacy GPs and not the North American one that my friend Aaron Casper Zach top-8ed. Like, why didn't we do both? Like, don't tell me that cost is an issue because I know what it costs.
Right.
And I know that you can produce quality content. It's not the equipment costs. It's not. I assure you, you have the equipment in Europe. You covered a European GP, so either you have the equipment in Europe or you shipped it across the ocean. Either way, you could have bought enough equipment that you would have blown people's minds if you covered both legacy GPs in the same weekend. I don't think you would have had split viewers. I think you would have had double viewership.
Yeah.
And then again, with no advertising and no stories and nothing being made, there's massive opportunity in coverage. And
I'm
hopeful that they see this and they hear this and Helene hears this because I know she listens every week. I know it. I know it, especially when I tweeted her to remind her that this week especially features lovely comments to her. She definitely listens.
After 35 minutes, though, she's got to survive that.
Yeah, well, I'll timestamp it for her. It'll be okay. I'll edit. I'll snip it down to from 30 seconds ago to right now. She'll listen then.
Yeah, there you go.
But there's massive potential in coverage coming up, and I think the change in the structure to the top eight is exciting enough that I don't even understand what's going on. I don't understand what it's going to look like, but this is something that you've caught people's attention. And everyone's going to be watching the next Pro Tour to see what the fuck is going on because no one knows what's going on. And that's when you can grab them with, hey, here's a thing, like a production. Here's a bunch of money, time, and effort. Yes, it costs these things to put into it, but the response you get will be so infinitely worth it. It will be so worth it for Wizards to do proper coverage and video.
Right.
Well, as we said, there are more opportunities in 2017, which is crazy just to say that number. Definitely didn't think when I was a kid I was going to get to 2017. Or if I did, I would at least have a Jetsons flying car and also hate my job at Stanley Sprockets. But it is coming up.
Kevin didn't even think he was going to get to 17, let alone 2017.
Yeah, no shit.
He had a few dates he was afraid of.
Mm-hmm. So we've got the schedule for next year. On the plus side or downside, you know, GP Toronto hosted by the great Facebook Games has been moved to July this year. So even more efforts to show the sweltering heat that may actually exist in Canada for those that have not had an opportunity to do it first. Hopefully this is enough lead time for me to make it out to next year. And hopefully the Jays are at a home series this year when I come out for it. That would be spectacular.
Tristan, you gotta come. We're going to the Jays game. We're coming, high water. We have to do it. You and I, like, we'll do it. We have to.
Last year, when the SVU was very gracious to help pick up my bill, as you mentioned before, Travis Sowers, somehow a huge fan of mine. He obviously is not from Montreal. And everyone else that helped contribute to my trip out there. I left the day the Jays are getting back into town, for a series against the Yankees. And obviously, if I had more than a student dollar to my name, I would have stayed for a game. But, next year, I was trying to make it happen.
This time, I personally assure you, you will not have a near miss like that. Because, it's all about the experiences, man. I would trade everything that I have for that experience with you. That would just be amazing.
Well, we need those guys. Honestly, we're leaving him.
If we could go to a Leafs game, if me and you and Maddie ended up at a Leafs game, I might actually just end my life there because it's never,
never going to get back.
That's just the best thing that ever happened in the history of time.
You in my back pocket for a Leaf ticket. He did say he'd pick that one up. And that's obviously still considerably more expensive than a Jays ticket.
Well, to be honest, Maddie said I could drive his car, and I assure you that's going to cost him more money than a Leafs ticket, so maybe he wants to exchange that.
But Maddie's always looking for an excuse to get a new Audi, as it stands.
Right?
So,
yeah, that's true. I got to rip it up on him.
The first time we
fucking roll up on Maddie's car, and it's him and I after a Brazilian steakhouse, all-you-can-eat meat downtown Toronto after an event. We roll up on his car, and he's like, beep, beep. And I was like, yo, can I drive? And he tosses me the keys.
I was like,
you're a fucking boss.
Cause I don't give a shit. It's insured, man.
So, cheers to Maddie. This drink's for you, buddy. And I'm drinking Glenlivet 12. It's a good one too. Yeah.
So yes,
I'm enjoying it.
I'm baptized since we fucking started this shit. Beating the heat.
I gotta get ready for evening Pokemon hunting. That's so I gotta get nice and liquored up so I can steal electricity? ?
Yeah.
No, I'm bringing my own battery tonight. Everything's charged, fully charged. That's it. I got a backup battery. Yo, motherfucker, I had a backup. When somebody said that to me, they're like, you should get a backup battery. I was like, motherfucker, not only did I have a backup battery, but my backup battery was dead because I charged everyone else's fucking phones. Sorry for being such a nice guy. Fuck. I can't believe how burned I got.
Ended up
so
in a cop car because you're a nice guy.
So fucked, right? Whatever. Fuck.
Toronto in July next year.
Yes, right. As you were saying, tangent.
In July next year. Now, before we get to the main course, there's talk of a Modern Masters 3 coming out next year as well, or there's much assumption that we're going to continue with that trend. And as much as we did not get a Eternal Masters GP this year, there wasn't something very clear about a Modern Masters 3 Grand Prix for next year, but there is one outlying weekend with three Grand Prix happening in the same weekend. This is May 5th through 7th that kind of point toward if there was going to be an opportunity, it would probably be there. Mm-hmm. Is it going to line up with the schedule? You know, are we going to get the announcements? We don't know yet. Don't buy your plane tickets. Don't make, all of your plans yet, but if that kind of thing was going to happen, it's not going to be in Vegas. It would instead be across three other cities, May 5th through 7th. I already closed the listing, so I don't remember exactly what they are, but we were talking about a North America, a European, and an Asian GP, just like the last time we had a Modern Masters one. So
I thought they did.
You're actually wrong. So what's happening is there are three GPs in Las Vegas that weekend.
Yeah. Well, okay.
What's going
to
happen?
I'm not wrong. I'm just also not drunk because I had not gotten to Las Vegas. I hadn't gotten to Las Vegas yet.
Okay,
I'm
go.
Talking about right. for different release because Las Vegas gets something very different and very special.
Right.
And is a
tell me about
massive,
it.
Massive blank check for the tournament organizer for that event. Because for Vegas for next year, June 15th through 19th, there are actually three Grand Prix during the course of 1 week, and they're going to be all your favorite formats, Modern, Legacy, and Standard.
That's fucking
hopefully we'll settle the debate once and for all which format is the most popular. Odds 1-1 on Standard so far, with probably a 12-1 dog on Legacy. But you never know. You never know. Legacy will probably outdraw Modern. But I'm not here to make those kind of claims or accusations right now. Instead, we're here to formally plant our flag in the SVU event for 2017, just like we assumed was going to happen, just what we all kind of, again, I love our community because we're very aggressive in nature, that we demand things that if they don't go 100% the way we speculated them on ahead of time, we'll
be angry about it.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly. So it helps that this pretty much went down the way we expected it to go down. Yep. Mid-June, like I said, very awkward timing for me because literally that first event is the same day as my fifth wedding anniversary. No, it's June. It's mid-June.
Oh, okay.
May is for the outlying, what hopefully is more
right.
July is for Toronto, and June is everybody who can hear my voice right now will be meeting up with us in Vegas.
Right.
For sure this time. You missed Vegas 1 because, again, it was my wedding anniversary, and I was swore up and down I'd never miss Vegas 2. Vegas 2 was insane. You know, again, we were there. I was there for 6 days, and it felt like 2. And I probably only slept a total of about 14 hours over those 6 days.
Yeah.
And it was a ton of fun. Again, you know, it was playoff hockey season. We had the house. There was great cooking by Marcel and MTG Brainstorm. You go back. You know how it went down. Either you were there, and we'd love to tell the stories, or you weren't there, and you've listened to it enough times that you're beating yourself into
the table. You had better fucking be there next year.
Exactly. And this is only minute one of what's about to be a 10-month hype train to get us to Vegas next year.
Yeah.
And as you know,
I feel like next year we may be able to bring more people to Vegas than Watsy does this time.
That's a bold claim.
Well, we've got 10 months to make it happen.
Yes. Not nearly enough lawyers to cover all the things that we're going to need them for.
Yeah, no shit.
So, you know how we're going to prove it? We're going to go on a massive fucking shirt campaign.
Yeah, no shit.
Right before the GP, of the few months leading up to the GP, we're going to go on a massive fucking shirt campaign.
Yeah, just like something obnoxious,
amazing, that stands out. We're going to get fucking all the SVU on it. Anyone who wants to help out, I'm sure Proxy Guy and even Maddie's going to collabo on some of the design here. We're going to run a massive, obnoxious shirt campaign. And
so
we'll
that
see.
You can just,
we'll see how many people Wizards brings and how many
just
people
do like, like, okay? Maybe we just do like, I hate, like, we're only doing bright orange for this.
Yes.
So that when you walk into the fucking, the event site,
yes,
and there's just a sea of bright orange shirts, we're just all, look, we did that.
They'll be,
and they're
they'll
all
be
coming
like,
back to the house to party with us.
There'll be like dope custom all over prints or something, like not just like, I'm not talking like a label on the front, I'm talking like custom, sick designed, awesome quality printed shirts that people are going to want to wear. We'll go on a massive shirt campaign.
Except for their orange.
GP Vegas, be there or be not there.
Or be not.
Either one.
There really is no alternative for this time. There's
exactly.
There's not like a...
We'll come up
no
with a slogan. We'll come up with a slogan that's decent,
well,
at least
I mean,
a little bit better than that one.
That's the thing. We, you know, the first Vegas was one thing. It was awesome. It was kind of off the cusp, not a spur of the moment thing, but it was like, we had no idea what it was going to turn into, but it turned into something fucking amazing. And because of that, and because of those of us that were there and experienced it, it just drove the fucking charge for the next, for Vegas 2. And now, that was such a huge fucking event. I mean, not just the Grand Prix, but I mean, just for the fucking SVU, the amount of people that got to meet there and like, there, anybody out there in our little corner of the fucking community, whether it be our fucking Twitter friends or loyal fucking podcast listeners or just anybody in this extended family that we call like the SVU community, anybody that is not at the next Vegas, at this one, like literally is either has no will whatsoever to go to something like that. They're like, okay, I don't want to be around these people. I don't mind listening to them, but I don't want to be around them in real life because I might die. Or, I don't know, they're in a coma or something. Like, there's so much time.
Yeah, we can help each other. We can make arrangements. We can get hotel deals. Like, there's so many things we can do. We're so strong. Like, when Martin first told me, when I talked to him about all the bullshit that was going on and how it was gonna, like, cost me a bunch of money and maybe we could, like, try and figure something out, Martin, he called me on the phone. He said, Tony, the SVU, we have mobilized.
I love that guy.
So I have full confidence in and everything gonna turn out. Everything's coming up, Milhouse.
Yeah, everything's gonna be fucking sweet, and we're all gonna get to fucking hang out.
Dude, I'm so fucking so Kevy. I'm gonna meet you. I'm gonna meet
we're
you.
Gonna hang out.
I'm gonna make you fireman carry me. it'll be romantic. Yeah, maybe give me mouth to mouth or something.
I'll lower you down on a rope.
Yeah,
building.
You'll be like, look what I learned in bondage class. I mean, rope class.
I mean, rescue class. Yeah.
You just gotta make sure you gotta do whatever you gotta do so you get some time off from the booth next year, man. Because we only saw you for 3 hours or so in the dead of night when you were there.
Not happening this time, guys. Not happening this time. I've put too much time and dedication into not splitting my time at least. This is gonna be a huge event. Everyone's gonna be on it. It's gonna be fucking massive. There's three separate GPs. One human being can't work all that time. They will actually fucking die. Therefore, I'm assuming I might get like an hour off.
Right.
So that's like more than the zero time I got off last time. So that looks, everything looks good. Prospects are great. I'm gonna see you guys for like 8 minutes. Fucking a perfect, perfect weekend.
Yeah, 8 minutes. No, that's all you need.
Dude, guys, I've put my fucking heart and soul into everything about this game and this company and how we do it, and not only am I gonna work hard, but I'm gonna play hard. So to all the fuck SVU that are worried about it, I'll be there.
I am making a solemn promise that I am not going to get as drunk as last time.
He can't follow through on that, just FYI.
No, I absolutely can't.
Disclaimer at the bottom. But you didn't mean to do it last time.
I absolutely can't because I just have to, I could technically, like, legally get away with it by just, like, only going for, like, a day less than I was there last time. Then technically I didn't get as drunk as last time. but I mean, I am a solemn promise that, like, I need to actually get some fucking good FaceTime in. Like, actually play some fucking rounds of Cube. Not, like, stumble into a round of Cube. Or, you know.
Or win it with Black Lotus, because that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I need just open Black Lotus. Like, you don't have to play Cube anymore. You just win.
I need to make sure that this time I don't disappoint people by not showing up to the main event. Not the actual Wizards main event, but I mean the main SVU event. I need to make sure that, like, you know, of course, it's Kevy Metal. If I showed up and stayed sober all weekend, nobody would like me anymore. But if I have to make sure that this time I get the quality time in, because I was so bummed about so many people that I missed out on meeting or spending time with, or, you know, even at that, like, getting to spend time, there were people that I got to meet and hang out with, but I was fucking belligerent for a good portion of it. And if I wasn't belligerent, I was fucking, like, tired and fucking ready for some rest and, or busy doing something. And so there were so many things that I missed out, so many people that I missed out on, like, quality time with, you know, being able to fucking hang out. I mean, shit, Tristan, you and I have hung out a few times and very little of that have we gotten, like, quality time to hang out. Cause I'm usually drunk. I think what stands out the most to me was, like, waiting for fucking donuts in Portland. Going on to the breakfast.
The best part about this story is it is not at all from Vegas.
Right.
Amazing.
Like, out of all the times I've hung out with you, like, one of the only times I remember getting to spend some quality time with you was, and you were in my home.
For a few days.
The only part, like, the only part of me that feels like we actually got to hang out and just spend normal, sober time together was in fucking Portland, Oregon, going to find breakfast.
The morning you were too hungover to go do anything else.
Right. Exactly. And so that's one of the things I, you know, want to make sure this next Vegas, and of course, I'm going to party my ass off. I'm going to drink. I'm going to have a great time, but I got to keep it in check. And I mean, I'm getting older. I'm a responsible adult now. I got two kids this time, and
yeah, you've doubled up on your children since the last time you were doing crazy shit.
Children, I got this fucking, like, I'm becoming a fucking firefighter in heavy rescue now. Like, I've got grown up adult shit happening in my life, so I've just learned to control my alcoholism a little bit, and I can do it in Vegas.
Right? No, there's just massive potential. The fucking world is our oyster. We are strong enough together that we can fucking fix problems, we can make things work, we can...
My only regret is that fucking the Las Vegas hockey team is not gonna be fucking up and functioning by then.
We'll survive. I mean, again, I was there for 6 days last time, which was probably like on the longer end of stints, but definitely not the longest of the people that have been there. Like, again, when I got into town, there were already plenty of drunk people in the house that had been there a day.
Mm.
And like I said, those 6 days flew by.
Right.
Just completely flew by. And that's with almost no sleep and little to no drug assistance to not sleep.
Right.
So I can only imagine, for people that are coming for only a couple of days or 3 days or whatever it is, how hard is it going to be to fit everything in? So set aside the time. You know now. You've got just about a year to make your plans. Because to me, it's like, I want to be there for a week. I want to be able to do meals with everybody, not miss something.
Yep.
Again, you must think about...
I want to be able to cook and not cook.
Right.
Think about when we took over the Hash House. I mean, that was insane. That was, you know...
Oh, my God, the Hash House is so good, too.
Turned into 75 people and the entire waitstaff hating us because we just kept taking tables.
I'm almost
Yeah, we pretty much took over that entire portion of the restaurant.
And that was just, again, that was just one meal, one opportunity. I mean, you know, like late night Peppermill with like, you and Marcel and,
No, I didn't get to, I didn't get to go to Peppermill. That was, Maddie was there, but I didn't get to go to Peppermill.
I don't think, Maddie wasn't there for Peppermill either.
No, because that was like the night before I got in.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. But then, you know, like we did a buffet one night with, a lot of very well-educated magicians where I managed to lose multiple bets that I cannot believe I actually lost. fucking
like,
Vorthos,
for an example,
insider info.
For an example, like when you develop relationships with people, like, yes, you can like sit around a campfire and you can like drink and share stories, or you can like share experiences.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things to do in Vegas, well, probably my absolute favorite thing to do in Vegas is the Penn and Teller show. So I would just, I've seen it again, I would see it again, and I would love to do that with a group of people and have the freedom to try and set up a night where we actually organize 12 or 15 people, get their shit together and go do this thing. Like
there's
the best part about Vegas, and I think
that would be like really, really exciting and something I would really look forward to.
Yeah.
Like sitting around playing Cube and Magic is awesome, but like really like sharing other life experiences.
Yeah,
people,
going
I've
out
never,
and doing
I've
things
never,
with these people that
dude,
we have a
I've never,
bond with. But
Kevy, think about this. I've never fired a gun. How would you like to
You know, all the way to Vegas for that. You could save a lot of money if you just went to, the wonderful land of the crest.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, you should come here and we can shoot guns all goddamn day. That being said, I am kind of bummed that I missed out. Like on the first Vegas, they took Durf to the fucking shooting range in Vegas. For those that may not be educated, like Nevada, other than like maybe Texas, Nevada's got probably some of the most lenient loose gun laws in the fucking country. Like you can, and I don't mean like loose gun laws, just like what's legal in the state. Basically there in Vegas, there are a few different firing ranges where you can just go fire straight up machine guns. And
what I want to try.
It's awesome, but I missed out on that fucking opportunity. They took Durf and they let Durf fucking open up a fucking, I forget what he ended up firing, but like they let Durf go ape shit. And Durf is a very tiny motherfucker.
I know, Durf's the
and
fucking
I'm so,
man.
So mad that I missed seeing him get to fucking shoot guns. But yeah, that's one of the things we could do. You go to one of the ranges there. Vegas is, you know, they got a few of them that are, they basically, it's a tourist attraction. It's like, you come here, you drop a little bit of money down, and you get to fire some of the coolest fucking weapons out there in an awesome, safe environment in a fucking shooting range.
I want to fucking do, yo.
You're not fucking around in the desert, and there might be somebody over on the other side of the hill kind of thing. Like, you're in a shooting range, and you're fucking, you got to make sure that you're fucking, everything's legit. But it's so much fun.
You know what would make me really happy, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, is to go to a shooting range where at the end of it, I got to shoot a magic card.
Yeah, you very well, like, I'm,
right?
I,
that'd be, that's like pretty basic, pretty simple, like,
well, yeah,
something,
yeah,
maybe,
right.
maybe the card I hate the fucking most, whatever it is, whatever card,
well, yeah,
it just drives
end,
me insane.
So do it at the end so you can actually hit it, you know, make sure.
Yeah,
that
like, yeah exactly, practice. And then, get to shoot my most hated magic card. I wonder what it would be.
That's a good question.
Hey, as for you guys, if you could shoot any magic card to represent it being your least favorite
card.
What would it be?
Oh man, this could just, I feel like this needs to kind of be a little side thing that happens in Vegas. If you're into, I get it. There's people out there that don't like guns and I understand that. I do, a lot.
I like safe guns.
And I've got a lot of them.
But no, I get it. If you don't like guns, you're not into this. That's fine. You don't have to get into this part. But I think a little side thing.
You can go to Penn and Teller.
If you're down, go to the shooting range with us. This might be a little side project that we get going on, where you make sure that when you come, you bring a copy and a copy of the one card that you want to shoot.
Yeah, that'd be fucking amazing. That'd be such a great memento.
Yeah, like I gotta figure out who's got a force of will that I can shoot.
A new one or an old one?
I don't care. I don't like blue cards and force of will.
You just want to give it to Cop Red or something.
You don't, Kevin. You don't want to shoot that. You don't want to shoot the drowning man Guru Island.
I feel like if I'm gonna do it, like it's obviously gonna be a blue card. It's probably gonna be Jason Mind Sculptor. To be completely honest with you, like I don't need to deal with a force of will. Like, but. Yeah. You know, I gotta.
It could be counterspell, realistically.
Yeah, realistically, but I gotta put some force on it. I think I've dealt with more Jace putting me in the fucking ground because I didn't stabilize fast enough than I have had having to deal with just counterspell. So I think Jace would be a good memento for me. I might have to take one of Daniel's Jaces with me, shoot a hole in it. I have enough faith and confidence in myself that I could put a pretty nice little fucking little hole right in the middle of that son of a bitch and then just put it right back in the sleeve, put it right back in his deck.
There you go. mine might be something like Remand. I've always hated that card. I fucking hate getting remanded. You're like, well, if you have Remand, you win. If you don't, I win. It's like Remand. And you're like, okay, cool.
Bring the card you want to fucking shoot, and the more flashy you want to get with it, the fucking better. Because, I mean, shit, like, it's going to be one of those things you're going to have forever. So yep. I think that there definitely would be a large herd of us that will bring cards to bring with us to the shooting range to go shoot, have a lot of fun, and then get to shoot our fucking magic cards. That would be cool. There's a lot of things about, like, Vegas this time. I think that the planning stages of it, we've done the first one, which was kind of a like, oh shit, this is happening, this is going down, and we'll just kind of wing it. We learned our lessons from that one, and we changed things a little bit with the fucking second Vegas, but the second Vegas was so fucking much bigger and so far out of hand. We learned a lot of lessons from that too. And one of the biggest ones that we got out of that was, you know, maybe not trying to do the house thing. You know, we've done that a few times. We've done that in Portland. We've done that in Vegas a couple times. And as fun as it is, there still ends up being feel bads because when you get a large group of people together, bad shit ends up happening to houses, and then somebody's on the hook for that house. So one of the things.
Yeah, no, I think if we can come up with like a reasonable, coherent schedule that is like daytime activity, nighttime activity. Here are the people that are intending on doing that with enough people.
Is keep it. That's it. Everybody like still needs to
do it or don't.
If we have a schedule and everybody's like, oh, cool, I've got my hotel rooms here and I've got mine here and I've got mine here. The biggest thing I think is to look into, and Marcel and I have talked at length about this, is getting a block of rooms, in whatever hotel. And of course, you know, you're welcome to stay wherever the hell you want to, but like kind of having it rather than a house, like the SVU block or, I mean, shit, it's not far fetched to think at this point with what we saw in Vegas last time. Like, it's not far-fetched to be, like, the SVU floor of a hotel. And
yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who aren't, right. quote-unquote, I'm sure there's a lot of people who aren't, quote-unquote, SVU that I know that are, or that Tristan knows or that you know from the community that are want to go to this
mm-hmm.
and that are totally willing staying on a floor with a bunch of rowdy fun
right.
lovers.
Yeah, you can.
And aren't going to have a miserable time. So we could, like, oversell, right? Like, it doesn't have to be HMSVU exclusive, right? It just needs to be awesome, fun time exclusive.
You say, for instance, you know, like, you know, we approach whatever hotel we decide on, which is, you know, there's a lot of planning, but again, we've got 10 months. You know, approach whatever hotel, say, look, we've got fucking a large amount of people coming into town for this tournament. And we want to look into reserving a block of rooms or even a fucking floor if it gets that far. That way, you know, usually in those situations, you get a fucking discount. It helps out everybody money-wise, you know, getting a discount. But it keeps us all in, or not all, but most in a centralized location. So that, yeah, you know, you can have your own private area, because we all come from different walks of life. You know, you guys, Tristan, you've seen me in these situations, and I kind of just, unless I'm in my hyperbaric chamber, I kind of am, yeah, cool, I'm down for whatever. But there's a lot of people, too, in this community, especially, that are like, oh, hey, I like my alone time. You got your Maddies that kind of want to get, you know, they love being there and having fun and doing things with people, but then they also need their own time and space. And so having, like, blocks of hotel rooms, we're good there, because you have your own room or a room you're sharing with somebody where you can go. Or, hey, say, eight, like, the eight of us, let's go fucking, we're going to be off in fucking Tristan's room, and we're going to go fucking cube. And then everybody else is still right there in a local location where it's like, you can have a fucking crazy raging party going in this room, and then the one guy staying in that room that doesn't want a party could be over in fucking Tony's room fucking taking a nap. And, like, we've got that kind of, you know, the localized, like we did with a house, but we all have our own space. And I think keeping everybody close together like that is going to be a fucking a big thing, rather than just having a bunch of SVU members in Vegas at the same time and trying to meet up and make sure you're getting to these scheduled events. I think that, you know, keeping everybody together, and then, yeah, hey, cool, we're all fucking 25 of us are going to fucking walk down and go gamble for a little while. And then we're going to go to the fucking event site. We're going to get a few fucking van shuttles and fucking just transport everybody down there. I think that going that route is going to be our best bet. And so that's something that we definitely have to look into. And I am done talking now.
Yo, many, many months to plan. There's lots of people who are good organizers. We can break down into subgroups. But the key is to offer sort of everyone the same amazing experience, yeah, and hope that we can all sort of take part and make each other's time as amazing as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% agree. Well, that being
one love. Said,
do we have any other fucking topics to get into? I don't think we do.
I mean, I'm sure we could, but we've raged for so long on these things.
I mean, I definitely have at least one more thing to say.
Let's get into it. Well, how about you get into it, introduce it. I'm going to go urinate while you're doing that, and then I'm going to jump into the conversation like I know what you're talking about.
Well, Kevy, I don't think you're going to miss much. So before you go, the only thing I have to say is go fuck yourself, Montreal.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Speaking of fucking community, okay, there was a Facebook post that I saw that somebody posted, and you guys know the show Fool Us with Penn and Teller?
No.
Where people like try-hard magicians, or people who are like not try-hard, like professional magicians, and like everyone, they go on stage at Penn and Teller's show, and they perform a trick for Penn and Teller. And the risk versus reward is Penn and Teller's going to try and tell everyone how you did your trick.
Right.
If they can tell you, you go away. If you fool Penn and Teller, you get a spot on their Vegas show.
Oh, okay.
That's the premise of the show. It's really fucking sweet. It's hosted by Allison Hannon Willow from Buffy, so it's like amazing, obviously. She's a knockout. She's like 42. Like, oh my god, she's not aged a bit. Stellar. Anyways, so there was a post that I saw once, and it was of a clip of Fool Us, and it was, his name's Maddie Gilbert. So he's a magician who does sleight of hand, and he was born with no hands.
What?
So that's pretty fucking amazing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So he actually fooled Penn and Teller.
Uh-huh.
So I'm watching the video, so I obviously shared it, because I was like, God, I love Penn and Teller, I love this guy. And just on my Facebook feed, he, like, loved that I shared his video.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah, yeah, fucking right?
That's fucking
like,
cool.
This is it, man. Social media is real. Like, fucking connection and community is real. Just reach out. There's someone there, like, their hands waiting, like...
Or not hands.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Or tattoo gun game recipient, whatever you want to call it. That's a dick joke.
God.